Welcome back, everyone, to the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org. If you like copies of today's program or any past programs, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website and surf to the archive section from that page. You can listen online to past programs, or if you prefer, you can download the MP3s for free. Before the break, we were just about finished with that first article. Well, it's the only article I'm going to share this week. I hope to get to a couple of emails that you all have sent. The headline of the article that we were discussing was... Where is it here? It's, okay, here it is. Catholic Church no longer swears by truth of the Bible. Picking up where we left off. Let's see if I can find out where I left off. Oh, here it is. Okay. Here's the article went on to say, it says that the Bible is true in passages relating to human salvation. They say, but continue, we should not expect total accuracy from the Bible and other secular matters. They go on to condemn fundamentalists or fundamentalism for its transigent intolerance and to warn of significant dangers involved in a fundamentalist approach. I remember I had a newsletter quite a while ago. I did a radio broadcast on it as well, where they actually said the fundamentalist approach to the scriptures was dangerous. Literally, that's what they said. But anyway, it goes on to say, it says, such an approach is dangerous, for example, when people of one nation or group see in the Bible a mandate for their own superiority and even consider themselves permitted by the Bible to use violence against others. Now, let me just stop. Is this not the pot calling the kettle black? Only the religions fashioned by Rome, which, by the way, are 99% of the religions on earth, can state this claim. But the two main ones that the Roman Catholic Church was involved in creating is, of course, the Roman Catholicism theology. And some of you won't believe this, but there is evidence all over the place. I can like send you an email. I'll show you the evidence online that the Roman Catholic Church actually invented the Muslim faith. They did so to try to kill off all the Jews as well as all the Christians, so they could have, you know, Jerusalem. They wanted that land. But then when the Muslims would not give Jerusalem, or, you know, when they wanted to exact payment, that's more or less when the Crusades began. But that's a whole other broadcast, I got to tell you. But if you want some information on this, just send me off an email, and I'll give you some information that would literally shock the daylights out of you. All right, anyway, it is in these two religions that you actually find people killing for their God, Roman Catholicism and Muslims. That's the main two on planet Earth that actually have no problem with this for some reason. And Rome shouts today that the fundamentalist approach to the Bible is dangerous. The fundies, as they call us, are the ones they're killing during the Crusades and the Inquisitions. Again, we see them using the reversal lie here. It's kind of like reverse psychology or something. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they're the ones that have always used the Bible to sanction mass murder. And now they claim the ones that embrace the peaceful scriptures, who have always shown the true meaning of Christianity in their gentle and Christ-like manners, are the ones that are dangerous. Anyway, the article goes on to say, it says, of the notorious anti-Jewish curse in Matthew 27, verse 25, it says, his blood be on us and on our children. A passage, they say, used to justify centuries of anti-Semitism. The bishops say these, in other words, must never be used again as a pretext to treat Jewish people with contempt. Describing this passage as an example of dramatic exaggeration, the bishops say that they have had tragic consequences in encouraging hatred and persecution. The attitudes and foul language of first century quarrels between Jews and Jewish Christians should never again be emulated in relations between Jews and Christians. Again, let me stop here. We again see the kettle is calling, you know, itself black or whatever, twisting the facts. I mean, historically speaking, Rome is the one that used that passage to fuel Hitler's Holocaust. And now they say Bible believers use it wrongly. Those that follow Christ faithfully look at that passage as merely as a historic fact. The Jews did in fact cause Christ to die on the cross, you know, in the physical reality, but spiritually speaking, he had to do so for the sins of all mankind, including the Jews. And they did, in fact, declare that his blood should be upon them. They did say that. However, it was his blood, not their own. When Christ returns, as prophecy says, those that pierced him will see him split the eastern sky. They will be judged for spilling his blood, as well as the blood of his followers. Now, how does Rome translate that into saying we are attacking Jews? It doesn't make sense. Now, sure, there are people that will use that, you know, unlearned, and twist it around. It's a statement that they, the Jews, actually made in anger, and they will be judged accordingly. Nothing more, nothing less. We have no say in this either way. To say that people that trust the Bible will use this passage as a way to fuel anti-Semitism is just simply a bold-faced lie. Rome did that. Never was there a faithful follower of Jesus Christ that used that passage or any other passage to sanction hatred in any way, shape, or form. That is simply not Christ-like, and thereby not Christian. It's not something a true follower of Jesus Christ would even contemplate. Rome is the only one on planet Earth that has ever done this. In the name of Christianity, that is. I mean, there is religions, like I said, with the Muslims, where they kill in the name of their religion, but Rome's the only one that did this in the name of Christianity. And they did openly attack Jews. I mean, this is why they decided to go with a Sunday Sabbath instead of the seventh-day Sabbath, because they said it was a Jewish Sabbath. They hated the Jews that much. The fact of the matter is, folks, that the Sabbath was instituted 2,500 years before a Jew was ever even born. So how do they call it a Jewish Sabbath? Well, because they're the oldest living race of humans that kept it. But there were people before the Jews that kept it. They always seem to leave that part out. The amazing thing about this is on March 12, 2000, Pope John Paul II even admitted the Vatican did in fact use God's word to sanction the killing of millions. But don't expect them to bring that up once again anytime soon. Only when they can benefit by it are they going to use it. I mean, that's common sense. At present, it would be a negative statement, so hush, hush, for now. They can claim to be godly in the moral authority while at the same time admitting to killing over 500 million Bible believers. That's not even counting Roman Catholic Emperor Adolf Hitler's rampage. So, anyway, the article goes on to say, it says, as examples of passages not to be taken literally, the bishops cite the early chapters of Genesis, comparing them with early creation legends from other cultures, especially from the ancient East. The bishops say it is clear that the primary purpose of these chapters was to provide religious teaching and that they could not be described as historical writing. Okay, stop here for a moment. In other words, it never happened. But it sure makes for some good religious fairy tales now, don't it? I mean, which is it? Either it's historically happened or it didn't. If it didn't, then why do you say some of the Bible is true? How can it be a little bit true and a little bit wrong? That just doesn't make sense. The article goes on to say that similarly, they refute the apocalyptic prophecies of Revelation. Well, anyway, the last book of the Christian Bible, in which the writer describes the work of the risen Jesus, the death of the beast, and the wedding feast of the Christ, of Christ the Lamb. Oh, and by the way, folks, the book of Revelation exposes the Vatican like no other book can. So, of course, this is going to be the focus of their attack. No matter, the elect cannot be deceived. Those of us that preach present truth should just keep on preaching. The wicked are going to deny it, and the elect are going to embrace it. It's not our concern as to which is which. That's up to the Lord. So, press forward, people, and don't let Antichrist try to confuse you into submission. Truth is truth, and the heart that's ready for it is going to be blessed with it. All right, the article goes on to say that the bishops say such symbolic language must be respected for what it is. It is not to be interpreted literally. We should not expect to discover in this book details about the end of the world, about how many will be saved, and about when the end will come. You know, truth is, folks, if and when you get time, you may want to investigate Catholic prophecy. You will see they actually give literal meanings to a lot of prophetic symbols. I know, I was Catholic 29 years. My first love has always been prophecy. So as a Catholic, I naturally delved into Catholic prophecy. Their books are jam-packed with this two-faced symbolism. There are literally billions of books all over the planet proving this fact. Catholic prophecy has the greatest amount of time gaps and confusing translations ever conceived by man. For years, I've tried to study this stuff and could never get a handle on it because there are so many holes and unexplained areas. One priest will say one thing, a bishop will say another, I mean, a cardinal will say this, and they'll all use words like maybe, perhaps, and could be when they're preaching. It wasn't until I started to let the actual Bible define the symbols that I found the real truth. This is by far the easiest of all churches to expose as being run by false teachers. It's a bunch of politicians, folks, dressed up for Halloween or something. I mean, Jesus Christ taught the Bible using the Bible itself. He did this to teach us how to tell when someone is lying to us. For example, there are 404 verses in the book of Revelation, and out of those 404 verses, 278 of them can be found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible. In other words, all the symbols in the prophetic books, especially Revelation, have their definitions laid out clearly in other books of the Bible. And the reason I say they're dressed up like for Halloween is pagans embrace that time of year. Pagans embrace that strange clothing that's kind of like costumes. That's why I said they're dressed up like Halloween. Because that's how the Roman Catholic priests stand at those altars, and the bishops and the popes and all of them. They're just dressed up. You know, like I said, all the symbols in the prophetic books, especially Revelation, have their definitions laid out clearly in the other books of the Bible. You know, strange how Rome doesn't seem to realize that, though. They pretend to be a knowledgeable church, yet they don't even realize that babes in Christ can define the symbols better than their own theologians can. Because the babes in Christ use the Bible. They say, look, this is where the Bible says that symbol's defined, and it does define it. I mean, that is exactly how the Bereans were able to tell who the wolves in sheep's clothing were in their day. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. In other words, they would listen to a preacher, then open their Bibles to verify what he defined. If they saw the Bible teaching something different than what he said, they knew they found a false teacher and then ignored him from that day forward. You know something? That has to be the easiest task in Scriptural Understanding 101. Seriously, try it sometime. The next time you're at church, take notes as to what the preacher or priest is saying regarding a specific symbol in prophecy. Then, go home and investigate all that the Word of God says on that particular symbol. If you do that, you're going to be surprised. Fact is, that's what got me out of the Roman Catholic Church a little over 20 years ago. Okay, the article goes on to say, in their foreword to the teaching document, the two most senior Catholics of the land, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, Archbishop of Westminster, and Cardinal Keith O'Brien, Archbishop of St. Andrews in Edinburgh, explain its contents. They say, people today are searching for what is worthwhile, what has real value, what can be trusted, and what is really true. The new teaching has been issued as the part of the 40th anniversary celebrations of Dia Verbum, the Second Vatican Council document, explaining the place of Scripture in Revelation. In the past 40 years, Catholics have learned more than ever before to cherish the Bible. We have, in other words, they say that we have rediscovered the Bible as a precious treasure, both ancient and ever new. My friends, that is a lie. I have been evangelizing Catholics over 20 years now, and I was Catholic 29 years as well before that. All during my time as a Catholic, and all during my time as an ex-Catholic, I've yet to come across a Catholic that uses a Bible or even proclaims it a trustworthy book. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that to offend the Catholics. You know I am speaking truth here, though. You know that your church teaches you. I'm not blaming you. It's what your prelates are doing to you. They are teaching you and sometimes even insisting that you do not trust that Bible. I know you know that because I used to teach Catholic doctrine, and I know what they teach to this day. So if you're a good Catholic and you trust your leaders over and above the Bible, that's what you get. This article alone, people, proves that, by the way. I mean, they're placing themselves above the Bible in this article. They're saying they're no longer swearing by it being true. It also proves the two-faced ability of this church. 1 minute. They say the Bible, I mean, the headline says they're swearing off the Bible as being true. And now they're calling it a precious treasure, both ancient and ever new. You know the word Babylon means in English, folks? To mix truth with error. The article goes on to say, a Christian charity is sending a film about the Christmas story to every primary school in Britain after hearing a young boy who asked his teacher why Mary and Joseph had named their baby after a swear word. The Breakout Trust raised 200,000, I don't know, lira? I don't know, to make a 30-minute animated film. It's a boy, is the name of the film. Steve Legg, head of the charity, said, there are over 12 million children in the UK, and only 756,000 of them go to church regularly. That leaves a staggering number who are probably not receiving basic Christian training. That, my friends, is the fruit of Roman Catholicism. When I was growing up Catholic, we were considered a devout Catholic family. Okay, that's rare, but there are some. There's a lot of them out there, as a matter of fact. Not a lot, but when you look at the size of this church. But anyway, every holy day of obligation, we would be in that church. I'm not kidding you. I mean, every Sunday, and then every, like, Ash Wednesday or whatever holy day of obligation. And in fact, the last couple of years of my time as a Catholic, I went to Mass every morning. Usually the church was 80 to 90% empty every week. In the mornings it was like 99% empty. But come Easter time or Christmas time, it was overflowing with people. They had to literally stand in the aisles. Oh, and by the way, 5 minutes before communion and 5 minutes after communion is when it was packed. In other words, they never came for the Mass. They only came for the God of Rome, that little Eucharist they called Christ the Lord. It's a little small round piece of bread they call a host with a flame on one side and a plus sign on the other side, or an IHS on the other side. All those symbols are the same symbols that the pagans have on their hosts to this day, called, you know, for Isis, Horus, and Seb, three pagan sun gods worshipped by Rome for ages. But Roman Catholicism is a religion of convenience. Unless someone dying, getting married, or it's a holiday, don't expect those pews to get much action. And again, I do not say that to upset or anger anyone. That is just merely a fact of life. If you're a devout Catholic, you know I'm speaking truth here. The devout Catholics would understand this because they're in that church. They're going every week, and they're seeing those pews empty. A cartoon, and I'm not saying let's go to church in the Catholic Church, folks. Please don't get me wrong. I'm trying to get out of that church. This is one of the reasons. A cartoon animation about Jesus Christ being born on the pagan sun god Tom Moose's birthday won't stop these little kids from, you know, from seeing Jesus Christ as a swear word, people. I mean, I know a few years ago I ran into three teenagers, brothers. They all thought, and this is in the Chicago area, where, I mean, you see Christmas, you see Easter also. Everybody seems to know who Jesus is by now, but these guys thought Jesus, literally thought Jesus Christ was just a swear word. Okay, now the article closes with this believe it or not subtitle, where it attacks a few passages from Scripture so as to further cultivate the heart of the scoffer. Their first section is listed as untrue, and in this section they only show four passages they deem to be alive, and it's entitled Believe It or Not. Then it has untrue, and the first one is Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. And this appears to be a Catholic Bible version. And stopping for a moment, looking at the clock, I had set, you know, was ready to share some emails, but it's not looking good, folks, so I apologize again for going a little bit long and not being able to. I mean, these emails are piling up, and I really apologize for that. Anyway, this is their version of Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. It says, so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man while he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed it up in its place with flesh. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And by the way, they do not prove any of their claims on any of these verses they have in the article. They simply place them in a list called true or untrue. Well, actually, untrue's first. And they make no comments whatsoever or share any evidence as to how they came up with this. Why do they do that? Well, it has to do with a quote I shared many times both on the air and off the air, as well as online, that sums up the Roman Catholic theology in a nutshell. It's from one of their saints, they call him, but he was actually bad news. He's the one that started the Jesuit order, Ignatius Loyola. It's out of his book, The Spirit of Exorcism, of St. Ignatius, page 141. He says, we should always be ready to accept this principle. I will believe that the white that I see is black if the hierarchical church defines it as such. Okay, this is why Catholics have a blind trust in these men. It's actually a mild form of brainwashing that becomes far more effective as time goes on. The longer they're in this church, the harder it is to get them to see the light. And before anyone emails me with unchristlike suggestions, understand this. I was Catholic 29 years, and I myself will attest to the fact that I too believed the men in leadership over and above the Bible the first 27 years of my life. I left when I was around 29, because I had already been in the Bible like maybe 18 months. I started around age 27, 27 and a half. I trusted those priests so much that I refused to open a Bible as per their instruction. Literally, I was told to stop reading it. It was confusing me, they said. That's one of the reasons I left, too, by the way. That was at the end of those 2 years of study. The only reason I started to peer into the Holy Word of God was because non-Catholics kept telling me I was headed to hell in a handbasket, and all the while they were saying these things, they were holding a Bible in their hand. So I decided to get a Bible and to prove, and that's right, I had to get a Bible. Catholic, 29 years, devout, never had a Bible. Seriously. Anyway, and I wanted to use the Bible to prove them wrong. It was then that the truth was made plain to me, and I realized the prelates in the Roman Catholic Church were lying to me about my God. What they said of him was completely different as to how the Bible described him. He wasn't hateful and a tyrant who relished the thought of people burning in hell, and he certainly wasn't one that would throw you in a place called purgatory, even if you were a follower of his. Truth is, folks, there is no such place. Unless, of course, you read pagan mythology, that's the only place you're going to find it. Okay, so they say in Genesis chapter 2 that God is lying about putting Adam to sleep to create a woman from his rib. Again, another reason I believe they must say this is because John Paul II's remarks regarding evolution being scientifically sound. So who, by the way, they now seek to canonize as a saint. So Adam, and especially Eve, well, they just got to go. They can't keep this reality going and still have their possible St. John Paul II canonized. Looks like I can get one more verse here, hopefully two, but they say Genesis 3:16 is a lie. They say that God said to the woman later, after she was beguiled by the serpent, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So now, why they say this is untrue is beyond my comprehension. Again, they share no proof of their assumptions, yet that doesn't matter, as many Catholics won't question them anyway. And since the One World Church began, which in fact the Pope has been leading as the world's moral leader, Protestants will believe this deception as truth as well now. So, is it false that women have pain in labor? Or is it false that men are the head of their households? Well, first off, we know women have pain at birth. So we must assume it's the latter here. Yet, biblically speaking, in both Old and New Testament theology, men are the head of the households, and true godly women know that. I'm not going to get into a flurry of Bible passages that prove that. Suffice it to say that true men of God don't stand over their women as some women fear they would. But true godly men look to their women as a helpmeet, just as the Lord said they are to be. Biblical fact is also understood that men are created in the image of God and women are created in the image of man. So still, women are just as blessed, if not, and in some cases more so, take Ruth or Queen Esther or even Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was blessed among women, for easy examples to research. All of the women in the Bible understood the biblical order of the household and their place in that house. None of them questioned the authority of the man, and none of the godly men hoarded their authority over their women. God took the bone from Adam's side, not from under his foot, to create Eve. So what is Rome saying here about this passage? Seeing how they don't explain themselves, we don't know. Only Rome knows the answer to that question. One more here. Matthew 27, verse 25. I don't even have to get into Revelation. You know they're going to deny Revelation because it exposes them. But anyway, it's Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. They say, the words of the crowd, his blood be upon us and all our children, is a lie. Now, placing this passage in the untrue list is an easy-to-see public relations ploy. Nothing more, nothing less. We know Ratzinger and John Paul II both seek better relations with Jerusalem because Daniel prophesied they would place their headquarters in Jerusalem very soon. In order to do that, they have to make nice. This is the main reason the Pope admitted the Church killed the 500 million Christians and the 6 million Jews back on March 12, 2000. They want that land, and they will do whatsoever it takes to get it. They know that force won't work for them anymore. Well, until the killing started again, but the Crusades taught them that fact of life. So they have to do as they do here in the States. They must infiltrate and put on sheep's clothing until they are so jam-packed into every nook and cranny of the operating system of their government that when the day comes to drop the hammer, it would be literally impossible to stop it from crashing down on its target. Case in point, Look at the USA internal structure of today. It was fabricated and infiltrated by Rome from the very start in minuscule ways, which grew in intensity with each new president. However, after JFK walked into Washington, their final boost to the end was made graphically apparent. Well, that's about it for this week, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. If you're unable to catch the program as it is aired, simply go to rabbinogod.org and click the Antique Radios on the main page. That page will bring you to the archives of this program as well as many past programs. You can listen online or download them at your leisure. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries saying, until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening. And remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.